This episode of Tribe Pod is brought to you by Proactive Talent, your one-stop solution for attracting, hiring, and retaining talent. Tribe Pod listeners, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whichever applies to you at this moment. Today you're in for a treat. I am interviewing Donna Cutting. Who is that? Well, she is the founder and CEO of Red Carpet Learning Worldwide, and she works with mission-driven leaders to help them create cultures of happy, engaged people who deliver exceptional service. She's also the author of 3 published books, including The Celebrity Experience, Insider Secrets to Red Carpet Customer Service, 501 Ways to Roll Out the Red Carpet for Your Customers, and her most recent book, Employees First, Inspire, Engage, and Focus on the Heart of Your Organization. Donna works from her office in Asheville, North Carolina, unless she's on the red carpet road trip, traveling throughout the United States with her husband, Jim, and their 2 rescue dogs, Moxie and Tonks. Well, she is quite the interesting person, and I think you will be endeared with her as much as I was when I spoke to her. You'll find out what I mean right after this special message.
Recruitment marketing, as compared to maybe employer branding, is all about getting your message and your story in front of the right audience. It's a lot to manage, and what Proactive Talent does for our clients is we help centralize, so you have one partner, one vendor to help you manage all those relationships. And not only that, we help you track the effectiveness of every media dollar you spend on hiring, so that you know in real time that you're getting the greatest ROI for your marketing investment to attract great talent into your company. We help our clients with recruitment marketing in a couple ways. One is in recruitment marketing strategy. And with that, we really take the time to help you build the right strategy, and then we get mutual approval on that strategy before you spend a single dime. The other way we do this is through our agency of record service. This is a partnership with you where we're able to reach out to publishers on your behalf to negotiate better pricing, to execute on media campaigns, and really act as an extension of your team. Some of the benefits that our clients have seen working with Proactive Talent's recruitment marketing services is an overall reduction of 30% cost per applicant. That's really significant. It's showing that we're able to leverage great technology, programmatic, and we're also flexible and scalable. We're platform agnostic. We're always going to use whatever the greatest and latest technology is, whatever the best platforms are, to help create efficiencies in your media purchasing so that you're always on the cutting edge.
For more information on Proactive Talent, visit them online at proactivetalent.com or click the link in the podcast description. Hello, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. It's so good to be here.
So much positive energy. I love that. Tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Sure. My name is Donna Cutting. I'm the founder and CEO of Red Carpet Learning Worldwide, and we work with organizations to help them create cultures of happy people for red carpet customer service. And I have a new book coming out. It's called Employees First, Inspire, Engage, and Focus on the Heart of Your Organization.
Author. Well, where can we, is your book out now, or is it, are we catching you before the crowd forms a line?
Well, depending on when this podcast drops, it's available for pre-order now. And then if you're listening to this after April 1st, 2022, then it's available anywhere books are sold.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, so many questions for you. Let me sort of dive right in. The past 2 years have been extraordinary in the world of work. I don't want to say unprecedented because everybody says that. I'll just say extraordinary. Due to the pandemic and now the post-COVID world, a lot of workers are trying to find themselves. They're going, in their meditations, you know, and they're thinking, what am I doing with my life? And I think that's really fueling the great resignation which is taking place right now. People just saying, you know what, why am I doing this? And they're just leaving their jobs en masse, looking for other opportunities. In this atmosphere, I've been told that the best thing a company can do is instill a sense of purpose in their team. And if that's true, then I would ask you, what would you say are like the benefits of defining the purpose for a team?
Yeah. Oh, I love this. And I think you hit the nail on the head that, you know, one of the largest factors that's fueling the Great Resignation is that we're going through this collective values readjustment where many of us are, like you say, going, you know, and trying to like figure out like what really matters to us. And so one of the results of that is that people are looking for more meaning and purpose in their work. And so the benefit of an organization really looking at like, how do we tap into what it is we really do that's bigger than just the widgets that we sell or, you know, the profits that we make? How are we serving the world in some way? That when you do that, you give people a cause to really, your entire team can rally around. And when you have that, when they feel like they're contributing to something that's bigger than themselves, whether it's through the work that you do or that you're aligning yourself with some sort of social cause or both, right? When you give people that sense that they're contributing to something in the world that's bigger than themselves, they're making a difference, that's when you're going to grow a really cohesive team with the same goal in mind. And then, you know, the world is your oyster when you have that.
Can you give me an example of that? Because I know somebody's listening, they're thinking, well, we make widgets, big whoop. How can I make that into some grand purpose?
Yeah. Oh, it's so interesting because, you know, this sounds like I'm deviating a little, but I'm going somewhere with this. Yesterday I was doing a mindful eating exercise. Mindful eating. And the instructor had us like eating an almond and taking like 10 minutes to do it. And one of the things he had us do was think about, you know, all of the people, all of like the sunshine, the rain, the farmers, the people that packaged that food, the people that shipped it, the people that. And so you could do that in reverse with almost anything, right? Hmm. What is the joy that you are giving somebody with your widget? How are you making their lives easier? And really, you know, because it is easier, like healthcare, obviously it's so easy to show a purpose, but you know, for some organizations, you might think, you know, how, you know, what's our purpose beyond making this one thing? But what's the end result? You know, how is this making someone's life better? How is it making someone's life easier? And then I'll go back to how also are you as an organization aligning yourself with something, whether it's sustainable living, whether it's, you know, being a world where we're welcoming to everyone, like whatever that cause is, you can also go in that direction. Align yourself with a cause that so that your employees can volunteer, so that you're supporting it financially, whatever, that can also be attractive to future employees.
Interesting. As you're saying that, I was thinking about a commercial. I don't know if it's Goodyear, Goodrich, or one of these tire companies, but their slogan is, there's a lot riding on our tires. And I always thought that was such a clever marketing slogan, because you can say, instead of saying, I manufacture tires, you could say, I safeguard the lives of families on the road, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. Bingo, that's exactly it. And then the key is to reinforce that message over and over and over again and connect the dots between what somebody does in your organization every single day and the life of those people out on the road, right? Mm-hmm. And so you do that through telling stories, you know, sharing the stories and the examples of the customer, like what, you know, sharing the applause, the celebration, the thank yous that you get with your team every single day, you know, and reinforcing how they're making a difference for people.
I'm going to keep in mind that almond example and just sort of eating the almond and think about everything that plays into that. And I'm relating that almond thing to the tire thing. So I'm thinking if I'm on the factory line, I can think about all the lives of people who got home safely that day. You know, all the people who got out of the snow that day is because of me. They may never know my name, but I'm the guy that helped get them home a little bit safer.
Yes. And you know what? Just listening to you, I'm thinking, like, what a great way to start every day. Like, if that was the conversation that every team leader had with their employees on the line that day, you know, that when, you know, we're going to get out on the floor, we're going to make the best tires that we can. And because I want you to think about all of these people and their lives are depending on you, like, what, you know, I would feel fired up and also feel like I had a great responsibility to make the best tire I could.
Definitely, definitely. Good chat. Let me switch gears a little bit. Now, there's a growing trend in the world of work. It's this phrase called location agnostic pay, which sounds so fancy. But basically, it means people are paid the same salary no matter where they are in the world. So if someone pays you a dollar in Singapore to do something, it's a dollar United States. So I know several companies are offering this to be competitive, right? And it makes me wonder, is this thing of location agnostic pay, getting paid the same no matter where you are in the world, is that the best way to ensure fair compensation?
So I'm going to be completely transparent with you right now, there's a whole chapter in the book about compensation, but I start the chapter by saying I'm not the best person. Like that is not my area of expertise. And so what I did with the book was I brought in different models and showed what different people were doing and also brought in people, you know, there are experts in compensation that have some things to say and they share, you know, their thoughts. But here's my response, not being an expert specifically in compensation, but I just think in general, we have this thing going on in our world where it's this or that. It's, you know, that black or white thinking, right? This is the right way, this is the wrong way. And what if there were lots of right ways, right? What if we worked with our team members to figure out something that's going to be attractive for the best people for your organization? So I'll tell you buffer.com. So they're a scheduling tool for a scheduling company for social media. So I use them. I actually, you know, all my social media is scheduled for a month out using buffer.com. So they use just the opposite. They have a very transparent formula and it is their salaries are benchmarked against, I think, like the San Francisco market or something. But then there's a cost of living multiplier depending on where people live. And then employees can move through different steps and different levels to get pay increases. And it's all out there on their website. Everybody's salary at Buffer is available for the general public to see. And so what their key is complete transparency. People come in and they know exactly what they're going to start making and how they can make more money, you know, go in the company as they continue in that company. There's another experimental model in Brazil where this young entrepreneur who owns a company called Symbios Ventures, he's trying this thing where coworkers actually score each other. And so everybody gets a base pay, but their compensation can increase depending on how their coworkers score each other on certain criteria. And it's still in experimental phase. But I think that's a really interesting way of looking at it. To me, the compensation conversation is not going away, obviously. And I think we have to stop saying it doesn't matter what we pay people because we have a great culture. You know, it's not either or, it's both of those things. But I think there's room for several different models. My humble opinion, not being an expert, but I think there's room. It just depends on what's going to be attractive to the right people for your company.
I like that. I like that. You're breaking people out of the prison of two ideas. So like you said, people think it's either one way or another, and there's so many different alternatives out there. I'll throw one more strategy out there because I just became aware of this just the other day. There is a strategy that some, usually this is in the retail kind of space or warehouse space, where bonuses are paid based on the results that the team produces. So if you everyone gets, you know, the same salary, but if team A can move more boxes and get more trucks loaded faster than team B, then they get most of the bonus, you know. So it's not about what the individual is able to achieve, it's what the team can achieve. And if the team meets or exceeds a certain goal, then the entire team gets the bonus. So it's definitely more than one way to compensate people.
Right. And what an interesting way to get a team to learn how to work well together to get the best.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah. Almost like a game show kind of thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I like what you said about the cost of living stipend being added there. I wonder if some companies would consider an additional stipend around home office use, because you're using more electricity, you're buying your own printing paper, that kind of thing. You also, in a way, companies are subletting people's homes because their homes are their virtual offices, in a sense. And I think that way, because here at Proactive Talent, we have such a benefit where you get a certain amount of money because, you work from home and there are additional expenses because of that. So just throwing it out for the home team. Let me switch gears again. Now, many companies have moved to a work from home model when the pandemic hit. And although the trend now seems to be a hybrid office where some people work at home, work so many days at home and then so many days at the office, new management challenges are surfacing. Dun, dun, dun. So people who work from home, they may be more favored with management because they're up close and personal. They get that personal interaction. And some remote workers may feel like, they ignore stepchild, less valued. Do you have any suggestions on how companies can keep remote teams connected and keep that family feeling going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be so interesting, right? It was even writing this book, it was so daunting being in this time of extreme change, right? And so we don't even know right now how all of that is going to pan out. I'm with you. Like, some organizations favor the remote employees because they're saving them money, and then others. Others are saying, we're not going to pay you as much for working at home because we want you in the office, right? It's going to be really interesting. But I think you absolutely can have a strong culture even with a hybrid workplace. And it just really begins with intention, right? Mm. So looking at, like, what is your overall intention? Well, you want to keep people connected. You want to keep them in the loop. You want to have opportunities for them to get to know each other. And and actually, one of the really interesting things about remote working is that sometimes silos break down so much easier because we're using these online tools like Slack, and we have all of this blanking on the word, but we have this asynchronistic, you know, communication going on, because you can have people in all over the world. And so you have to have information available to everybody. So that doesn't always happen in the workplace, but it's happening more and more in the remote workplace, right? So I think it's a matter of like starting really intentional, starting with the idea of keeping people connected. So you can have, so Galactic Fed actually is they're a growth marketing organization, and they're completely remote. So they're all over the world. And so they will do, they rarely have meetings, right? It's like maybe once a quarter, they'll have a meeting or a couple of meetings for updates and things like that. But they will do things like partner people up to get them, you know, just for the sense of getting to know each other. So you could do that with like a remote worker and an in-person worker, just have intentional conversation dates so they get to know each other a little bit better. And that actually may be buffer.com that does that, but Galactic Fed will have like icebreakers that they do online. And I think people have the answer to this question. I just think that it's the end result. It's like our intention is we want to keep people connected. We want to make sure everybody gets the information, right? And so instead of fighting this trend now, it's like it's asking the right questions. Like, how do we do that? How do we connect people? How do we, you know, where do we have to put information? And maybe when do we have to get people in the same room together, regardless of where they work on a day-to-day basis?
Definitely, definitely. I like what you said there. It all starts with the right questions, the right intentionality. Because if you don't even have that at the heart of it, you're not going to do a lot of things. I'm curious too, because there's been a lot of emphasis on diversity and inclusion these days. Equity is a popular word being bantered around a lot. How do you think companies can encourage diversity and inclusion in these type of situations?
Well, it's interesting because from what I'm hearing, there are a lot of people in like people of color, people in the LGBTQ plus, you know, space or that might be labeled as, you know, the diversity bucket, so to speak, that that actually prefer working remotely because they don't feel, and again, this is what I'm hearing, it's not my personal experience, but not feeling subjected to sort of daily microaggressions, you know, whether they're intentional or not intentional, not having to answer certain questions. They feel more equality, actually. At least, again, this is what I'm hearing. But I think, again, it goes back to that idea of intention. So when I go back to Galactic Fed, this really cool company, they have people all over the world. And one of the things that they do is they celebrate, I don't know, they said it was like dozens and dozens of holidays every year. Like you know, these are two United States based people, like born and raised in the United States, who say, like, we now know holidays we didn't even know existed because they've been very intentional about bringing holidays into their culture because they have people all over the place. So, I mean, I think it's the same with every aspect of diversity, and it's the same whether you're in the workplace, like looking at the language in your organization, looking at the pictures on your website, and even deeper, like having the deep conversations that need to be had so that people can edit their stories a little bit. You know, we all come into this world with different stories based on our own personal experiences, and we're never going to 100% agree, right? I mean, that's just
that's human nature.
Yeah, it's human nature, and I don't even know that that's like a good outcome, is that everybody agrees with each other. But But we can have a deeper understanding. So Talent Plus is another organization that work based in Nebraska, but when the pandemic hit, they all went virtual. And they started, when George Floyd was murdered, they started having conversations around diversity. And I think they meet on a monthly basis and they'll have like guest speakers. They had a couple of mixed race who came in and like talked about what they face every day and, you know, what their, you know, positives, negative, you know, the whole, and then people could ask questions, you know, and be honest. And then they had another time and they'll study things, you know, they'll study Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches, or they had another time where the focus was on, you know, what's it like to find that someone you love is in the LGBTQ community and like sharing those experiences. And I think you have to have a strong culture to begin with to be able to have those conversations. But those are the deep conversations, I think, that eventually are needed in order for us to have more diverse, inclusive, and equitable workplaces, regardless of whether they're remote, in person, or a hybrid.
Gotcha. Wow. Great insight there. Finally, man, I feel like we can talk forever, but let me throw one more curveball at you. Okay. So we spend so much of our lives at work. Now, according to this website, Revise Sociology, we will spend 92,120 hours in our lifetime at work, assuming you work full time from 18 to 67. Now, that's a lot of time to spend with people you may or may not like. I would think a little bit of kindness at work would make those years feel more rewarding. My question for you is, can you offer any tips on how companies can cultivate kindness and compassion at work?
Yeah, I love that question. And I mean, I think that is, you sort of alluded to this. I mean, the challenge is we're human beings, right? Very imperfect human beings. And I think one of the things we try to do is just put a Band-Aid on things and not really, you know, understand that working with other humans is a complicated thing, right? Because we all come in with our baggage, right? And so one thing I will say is right away that companies have to understand the deep trauma that we have all been over the last couple of years. And just that in and of itself, I think, is having an impact on empathy and kindness and respect, because we're all stressed out. And so one of the first things is to start normalizing the conversation around a need for emotional health support. That's, you know, that's something I think we all need on some, you know, level, especially after what we have been through in the last 2 years, and some industries more than others, but all of us really. It starts with slowing down and really listening. So I think if organizations developed their leaders to start with on these three or four things. Number one is how to really deeply listen to what people are saying without getting defensive, without jumping in with a solution, right? How to get curious without getting defensive. What empathy looks like and sounds like, and then even defining what respect looks like, because a lot of times we'll throw these buzzwords out like we've got to give respect in the workplace, but nobody's really taken the time to say, well, what does respect look like in our workplace? And and so defining that, and then giving your leaders the space to have conversations, to practice those skills, because then they can be role models for everyone else in the workplace as well.
Wow. Well, I think I have one more accolade to add to your repertoire, Donna Cutting. Emotional support human. Add that to your list of of accomplishments there. How can someone get in contact with you if they have more questions for you? And also, how can they remind us again about your book that's coming out?
Yes, so thank you for asking, and this has been such a pleasure. My website is redcarpetlearning.com, redcarpetlearning.com. I'm on all the social, like LinkedIn and Instagram and all of that. And my book, Employees First, Inspire, Engage, and Focus on the Heart of Your Organization, comes out April 1st, 2022, and it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Hudson Booksellers, Porchlight Books, your local independent bookstore, anywhere books are sold.
Great, great. I look forward to seeing it on the bestseller list in the near future. Thanks
from
for being our
to God's ears, right?
Thanks again for all the positive vibes that we receive from you, and thanks again for being our emotional support human. You are appreciated. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 1,000 times thank you for listening and subscribing to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please send them to us. You can reach us at TribePod, that's TRIBEPOD, at proactivetalent.com. We look forward to hearing from you.